because now you're 1-1 with Brock Lesnar. And there can only be one dominant alpha male in the WWE universe. So how do we settle this problem? Well, there's a major event calling up. And that major event is called Extreme Rules. So my client Brock Lesnar and I are proposing a match in which a man that is knocked out unconscious will be shown no mercy. An unconscious man will be victimized. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get barbaric. It's time for a match in which skin gets ripped away from bones, where a career can end in a nanosecond. It's time to get primal. It's time to get uncensored. It's time to get ruthless. It's time to get raw. It's time to get extreme.
Superstars can't generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
Handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
What's up, y'all? WWE superstar Kofi Kingston here, and you're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
April 17, 2013, the best in wrestling talk radio back on the air once again. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting in the Smack Talk studios with this guy, James McDonald. James, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I was just thinking about what Paul Heyman said in the clip right off the top there. Primal, barbaric, skin being ripped off the bone. You know, reminds me of you last time we both went out for All You Can Eat Chicken Wing Night. But anyways,
nice.
I'm doing pretty good.
There's one word that's going to be tossed around here in the next few weeks. And that is what Paul Heyman said at the end of the clip. Extreme. What do you think, James? Are you ready to get extreme?
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Yeah, Brock and Triple H Part 3.
Well, hey, let me just say this right off the bat. That was the Monday Night Raw of the year right there, wasn't it? Best Raw, if not this decade. What do you think?
All right, are we going the sarcasm route tonight then? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
All right, we'll get into it all. We're going to catch you up on the week it was in professional wrestling. To find this show, you got to head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Send a friend to @SRLRadio on Twitter. And I always forget to talk about it, but hey, we're on Stitcher Radio. Search us up at Stitcher.com. All right, James, here we are. Raw was from Greenville, South Carolina, a city so good they actually forgot to mention it on Monday.
No, I don't know. It's that stupid policy that they have where if the town isn't like big enough or it doesn't have an established enough name, then they don't bother mentioning it at all. I don't know. I don't know if I really agree with that.
Let's get this out of the way right away. the crowd this week compared to the crowd last week in New Jersey.
It was like night and day. Holy smokes.
Was it though? Like,
oh, absolutely. But then again, I guess we can officially say that the post WrestleMania lull is upon us.
Oh.
Would you agree?
Well, let me recap what I said last week on this show. I said that I thought the WWE got lucky the night after WrestleMania with a crowd as hot as they had. This week, all momentum after Monday Night Raw, in my opinion, has been lost.
Well, I've also made some weird creative decisions as well.
I'm thinking that right now the WWE is in scramble mode. They really are unsure as to what direction to go.
I gotta agree with you there.
And we are noticing it in programming.
Yes, definitely.
It's very obvious
it's
to me.
Very evident in the programming. And I was about to say, I think this whole Rock walking out story, which I think is really juicier than it really seems on the surface, I think this is really, like you said, put them into scramble mode. And yeah, it's very evident in the product that we're seeing here.
We're aiming towards the next pay-per-view, and that is Extreme Rules. It happens May 19th, 2013, from the Scotts Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. It's about 4 weeks away, and what's worth mentioning here is that this is the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania. It's always a tough sell. I think it can be done. We've seen it done properly before. This year, so far, what I have seen, it's not making me buy the pay-per-view at
this point. Last year, I mean, you got to remember, last year they had that big return with Brock Lesnar on the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania 28, and that was kind of your big match that everybody was looking forward to heading into Extreme Rules last year was John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. And I mean, everybody expected Lesnar to win that match, and we all know what happened there, right?
John Cena beating Brock Lesnar. It's been very interesting with Brock Lesnar.
It has been. I think I was talking to you about this earlier. I really think the WWE has missed the boat in the way that they've booked this guy. I mean, you're paying this guy this much money. I mean,
it sounds like at this point in time that it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Triple H, the rubber match, the best of three, if you will. That's what it looks like they're selling this pay-per-view on. It's not working for me.
Is that going to make you pay the $50 or whatever it is to buy this in high definition? No, it definitely is not. It's not going to be for me either.
Aside from Brock Lesnar, and we'll touch more on all these topics later, but let's talk about really what is hot here. What do we have coming out of WrestleMania that's hot? We have the Brock Lesnar Triple H thing. In their eyes, it's hot. We have this Fandango thing. At least it was hot. We now have John Cena and Ryback. These are really the three main things moving forward. Well, you got Dolph Ziggler as well.
That's,
so four.
I was just about to say, Dolph Ziggler is probably the hottest thing you've got going out of WrestleMania, I would say.
And think of what they did on Monday.
I know, it was terrible.
So what I'm getting at here is what...
They don't have a lot. They don't have a lot that's hot really going out.
And
nothing that's really
peaking. And it's very evident. Now, I would like to come on this show tonight and be positive about the product. I'm amped that we just finished WrestleMania. We had a hot Monday Night Raw the night after.
Oh, it was beautiful.
We had momentum. This week, I feel like it's lost. Let's start with Brock Lesnar, Triple H. Now, like I'd mentioned, the best of three here. Why are they doing this match again, James?
Yeah, I have no idea. Is it, I don't know, maybe is it for Triple H's ego? Because the question that really pops up to me when thinking about this match is, if Brock Lesnar wins this match, doesn't that just put them all the way back to square one? You know, because now all of a sudden Brock Lesnar's got that one step up on Triple H.
I think to me this is what they're thinking is here. They want to give Brock Lesnar the win at Extreme Rules to build him up to be that monster again. Triple H, he's like one of those guys where, and I don't know for sure, but I would venture a guess that he doesn't mind losing at Extreme Rules, but he would prefer not to lose at WrestleMania.
That's possible.
And, you know, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
More people remember WrestleMania than they do Extreme Rules. So I think Triple H would actually lie down to Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules. Not literally, but I think that Lesnar would pick up the win here.
Hope so. And I'd hope that he would continue on and be strong booked throughout the rest of his tenure, right?
My biggest gripe here is that we've only seen Brock Lesnar in the ring three times. Two of them have already been against Triple H. Isn't it time to put him on something new here? Like, I'm not interested in this match. I've seen it twice already, and one of those matches was at the biggest stage of them all. So why are you following up with this? It for me, it's obvious they got to build Lesnar up again before he moves on to the next guy. But to me, that can't sell this pay-per-view.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying. you know, like I said, if as long as Brock gets the win and it is booked strong moving forward.
Okay.
I mean, with his limited appearances that he's got, mm-hmm. I mean,
okay,
I don't
so
know.
Do you see this match being the main event at Extreme Rules? Lesnar versus Triple H?
At this point, I would have to say, yeah. I'd have to say at this point, this is the match that they're trying to sell the pay-per-view on.
And what about this idea that it's a steel cage match? Does that sell it for you?
Well, that says to me that they're probably going to end the feud here between Triple H and Brock. Because usually those are the kind of matches that you would close off a big program on. You know, like
I thought
a
it was interesting.
Or a steel cage, right?
I thought it was interesting when Paul Heyman was describing the cage match. And he was saying, careers have been ended by this match. When was the last time you saw a guy's career get ended by a steel cage match?
By a steel cage match? Yeah, I can't really pull one off the top of my
head.
But you gotta say that kind of stuff to build it up, right?
But it was just kind of a letdown when they had said steel cage match. Is that really?
It's old school.
Okay.
It's whatever. You gotta add some kind of steel. Like what stipulation would you add to that match?
I wouldn't do the match
in the first place.
So,
okay.
I don't know. I'm talking as a fan right there, but I just was kind of let down with the whole steel cage announcement. I mean, we see random steel cage matches on Monday Night Raw. I don't know. That's my own personal opinion.
All right. Well, if it's not Triple H, then who would you put Brock Lesnar against? Because if he's scheduled to work the date at Extreme Rules, then who would you put him up against if it wasn't Triple H? Maybe somebody like Sheamus or...
Well, maybe hold him off from Extreme Rules. Do we have to have Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules? Give him a bit of time to build something up with someone new. I mean, maybe you use... There's 4 weeks till Extreme Rules. You could use these 4 weeks plus another 3 or 4 until their next pay-per-view and use that time to build up Brock on television as opposed to just throwing him into another match with Triple H. I don't think people want to see that. I could be wrong.
Fair enough.
I'll say this. I haven't seen anyone anywhere write or say that they're looking forward to this match. I think he's kind of being forced down our throat, kind of like other programs that are happening on Raw. And yes, it has to happen somewhat. We need to move on from WrestleMania. But I've just found that the way they are giving us these programs and trying to sell us on these programs, it's not working for me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John Cena and Ryback.
John Cena and Ryback. What did you think about that Ryback promo? I thought that Ryback promo... I mean, you can't do that promo in front of the crowd, first of all. I mean, if he did that, went out there and did it live in the ring or something like that, I don't think it would have gone over very well. I don't think the crowd would have reacted to it very well. But then again, I don't know. It was probably one of his best promos that he's ever done, but I still kind of had problems with his delivery, you know, and I didn't like how he always would look down to the left corner as they cut to like...
Well, of course it was one of his best promos ever because he probably had 30 takes.
Yeah, I mean...
That's the type of promo where
But is that bad that he's done 30 takes and I still kind of... Well, you don't know that he has. I'm still kind of iffy on the delivery of it.
I found... I don't like the way they've tried to convince us that we're supposed to be... Well, first of all, I'm confused with this program in a sense that it's John Cena versus Ryback. Both these guys were faces. Now, because they're pitting them two together, Ryback's supposed to just do some quick heel turn and we're all supposed to buy into this that we're cheering for John Cena and booing Ryback.
Exactly.
It's a poor way of doing it. First of all, the timing of this whole thing is completely bizarre to me.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make any logical sense seeing as how Ryback just lost to Mark Henry at WrestleMania the night before. So technically... Isn't Mark Henry deserving of the title shot more than Ryback? I would think so.
And yet,
so.
What do you think happens at Extreme Rules? It's going to be John Cena versus Ryback. It's not going to be Mark Henry versus
John Cena. Oh, absolutely. It's going to be John Cena versus
Ryback. So that's what I don't like. And you just look at the timing of it. It just comes out of nowhere. And that, to me, if you want to turn someone heel, you don't do it with a prepackaged promo that everyone's watching on the Titantron. You get the guy in the middle of the ring in front of those fans that you want to turn on him.
Well, I think they did a good job of it on Monday when they had the Shield attack scene at the very end, and then he just stood there and didn't help. I think
so you're
that
talking about at the end of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, because we're talking about Cena and Ryback here, right? But
so after that, you're booing Ryback?
I think that establishes him as a heel to most. The average WWE Universe fan, right?
Are you interested in Ryback versus John Cena, even if you are convinced that Ryback is now a bad guy?
Not really. I think they really should have kept Ryback as a babyface because his "Feed Me More" chant was very easy to get going. It was very over with the crowd. It just seems forced, you know. And I don't like when things seem forced. And It would have made way more sense to have Mark Henry and John Cena.
Yes.
Feuding over the title belt. Yes. It just would have made way more logical sense. I mean, if Ryback had won the night previous, then yes, this would have made a little bit more sense.
Now, why would the WWE argue that it should be Ryback as opposed to Mark Henry here? Because Ryback is going to draw more than Mark Henry? Is that their justification here?
Possibly. And maybe because they want to give Ryback a little bit more of a rub than Mark, because Mark Henry, I mean, he's established. He's near the twilight of his career. You got Ryback, who's an up and coming guy. So maybe you kind of want to give him the rub a little bit more than Mark Henry.
Is this really working though?
Like I just said, it feels forced, and I don't.
It does.
You know, I don't.
And it all started with WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and it's been a trickle effect from there. Okay.
Well, here's the other thing you got to remember with Cena and Ryback. Ryback's credibility at this point, to me, anyways, is seriously called into question. I mean, he's been losing he's lost at the pay-per-views, four or five times in a row now, dating back to October?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't won in a heck of a long time.
Okay, here's a good question for you.
So is he really deserving of this title shot?
If it is John Cena versus Ryback, who do you think takes this match?
Oh, John Cena for sure.
Really? You're going to back your point up even further and say that Ryback will take another loss.
That's the only way I can see. I cannot see them taking the belt off of Cena this close after WrestleMania.
But don't you think that they could also go the same route that they're going with possibly Triple H and Brock Lesnar, that Cena can't, he'll look good at WrestleMania, but he doesn't mind looking bad at Extreme Rules?
I don't think so.
And maybe Cena wants to build up another possible guy here because the roster is rather short.
No, I don't think so. I think this year is going to be, like I've said before on the show, I think this is going to be an incredible year for John Cena. He's going to be booked stronger than he's ever been booked before, and I wouldn't be surprised if he holds on to the belt the whole year, so I can't.
You better watch yourself with that when you do something like that with the champion, because John Cena is on, to me, he's borderline X-Pac heat right now.
I think
you're actually going to keep a belt on John Cena for that
long? It's a weird
long?
Enigma. John Cena, there's never been the kind of heat that John Cena receives. I don't think I've seen any other wrestler receive the kind of heat that Cena receives.
No. And what I mean by X-Pac heat is you're running the risk of the fans legitimately booing him. It's no longer part of the show. It's that they're actually sick of the product so much that John Cena is representing.
You also got to remember there's also that large portion of fans that are behind John Cena and are cheering him and are behind everything that he does every week on Monday Night Raw. I think a lot of it has to do with WWE really focusing on the fans like us that are booing and giving John Cena this X-Pac heat that you talk about.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it seems
you
more
prevalent. You think they like that?
Yeah, and I think that's why it seems more prevalent, is because they're focusing more on it.
But how long does that go on for before the fans actually get fed up? You can't literally have a champion run with the belt for a year where the fans legitimately don't want to see the belt on that guy. I think a lot of fans can, they can put up with a heel being a champion, but when you have the belt on a guy that everyone else thinks, I kind of go back on what I say here, because it's, I'm in the
minority
here.
You never know. You never know what the future's going to hold. I think at this point, I honestly think the plan is to, I mean, obviously I'm not on the creative team, but I think at this point the plan is to really book John Cena strong for the rest of the year. But like I said, who knows? Maybe something happens. Maybe somebody something happens like what happened to CM Punk. Somebody steps up, becomes super hot, and they decide maybe to hotshot the title onto him because he's just like super over with the crowd. You know, you don't know. Something like that could happen, right?
Yeah. But you're thinking Ryback is not the guy.
No, definitely. Are you kidding me? Not at this point, no.
Interesting.
No, definitely not. I mean,
I actually could see the opposite here at Extreme Rules. I could see Ryback actually taking the title off Cena.
That just, to me, that really craps on the credibility of this new title belt that you've just introduced. It really does.
That means nothing to them.
That would be stupid. Why would you put all this effort into debuting this beautiful new title belt just to crap on its credibility by having it change hands three times in 3 months? I'm sorry, that just does not make sense to me.
Okay, Vince McMahon loves Ryback. I think it's fairly obvious he loves his look, and he does have a good look. And he's probably working with Ryback to pick up in other areas.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I think you've put Ryback through the ringer. This is what I think. They already gave Ryback a shot at the title. He came up short, right? He failed. He went back down for a little while. If the plan is not to have him take it this time, why are you putting him in that spotlight right now? You're going to build him up again only to fall short again? Are the fans going to actually even remotely care about Ryback if that happened?
You know, it could be the Dolph Ziggler effect. You know, maybe you build him up, and then knock him down, build him up again, knock him down again. So then finally when he does...
I think they do that with a lot of wrestlers. That's a big thing.
So maybe that's what they're going to do with Ryback. Maybe they're going to build him up here, and then boom, knock him down, have him lose to John Cena. Maybe they'll keep building him up.
Okay.
You know, have him feud with John Cena. Maybe they'll fight, you know, for the next three pay-per-views, because they've been known to do that, you know, after WrestleMania. Guy, you know, programs are known to last 2-3 months. So maybe they'll do that, and then... and then finally, maybe sometime next year or something, and he finally gets that shot at the title again, and he finally wins it. It's that big Dolph Ziggler-esque moment, right?
Okay. No, I mean, you know? I don't like what I'm seeing. I just don't with Cena Ryback. I can appreciate the attempt, and maybe it'll turn on me at some point, but this week, I'm not feeling Cena Ryback.
You know what else I wasn't feeling this week? The way that Jerry Lawler was pandering to the crowd about this whole fandangoing thing. Let's talk about this fandangoing craze that's apparently sweeping the nation.
Let me set this up. Fandangoing,
since you were there live.
Well, no, fandangoing started as a spur-of-the-moment thing. The crowd was had their difference of opinion at that Monday Night Raw in New Jersey. They basically started their own chants. The fandangoing was born. We are now a week later, and really what's more interesting than the actual thing taking place is how will they follow it up. Would you somewhat agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
I was interested to see how they'd follow up Fandango this week on Raw.
Well, to me, it just seemed a little bit over the top, and it really seemed like they found something good, and they were like begging the crowd to recapture the moment that they had last week, and you're not going to do that, because that crowd last week was just something that's like
The best way I can describe this is they found something that was cool to do.
And just made everybody come together and have a good time. And that's what it was all about.
No. What I was going to say was this week they managed to take something that what people were kind of digging and were thinking was somewhat cool, and they've made it uncool. I don't think people are going to follow on to this now that the WWE has basically recognized it, and now they're just going over the top with it. They're just forcing it down the throat. The fact that they had... First of all, what should have happened is Fandango should have come out, and you should have just let the crowd pick it up on its own. Let the steam happen on it, like the momentum. Someone would have started it, they all would have gone on to it, and you could have had Fandango...
There was like a weak attempt, but it never really caught on.
But it's because I think people were just like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, they want us to do it, I'm not doing it.
They made it look uncool, the way Lawler talked about it, and it was just obvious what they were doing.
And it's a very well-known fact that crowds don't like to do whatever the WWE tries to tell them to
do. You should have had Fandango come out and do a legitimate program with someone or a promo in the ring, and just let that chant happen on its own. Yeah. That's what I think.
I didn't like the whole interaction with Jerry Lawler, and it seemed like it cheapened the whole thing. And and how about when Fandango was coming out, like the numbers that Michael Cole was spewing out, like it's number 3 in the U.S. charts and this and that. And it's like that. I hate when they do that. When they just spew out like bullshit like that. You know.
Okay. Aside from the chant, Fandango is a bit of a hot topic right now because he does have this look and this feel that he might actually go places in the WWE.
Now, is it Fandango the wrestler that's over, or is it just his theme music that's over?
I think it's a bit of both right now. I think this Fandangoing thing that they tried to shove down our throats on Monday, I think that'll die off quickly, and I think WWE is partly to blame for that. But in terms of Fandango as a wrestler, he is impressing me, and I enjoy watching him, and I think he is one of the fast rising stars, especially at a time where other guys may not be on the roster. I think you're going to get a lot of Fandango on your television sets, and it's going to be for a good reason.
Well, I hope we get to see more of him in the ring, because, I mean, we've only had the one match at WrestleMania so far.
So where does Fandango go from here, then?
Well, I think maybe he'll start a program for the U.S. title with Kofi Kingston. I don't think he'll start up I don't think he'll, you know, be undercard or main event status, obviously. I think they're going to start him off
yeah,
you know, kind of low on the card. So maybe, yeah, program with Kofi Kingston. Or
could you shoot him right to the top near right away?
Or maybe something with The Miz?
Could you shoot him up to the top?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't think so. Not at this point.
No.
I mean, the whole Fandangoing craze, personally, I think it's, you know, it's like the next Gangnam Style?
Gangnam Style,
okay, yeah. You know, it's the next, like, 15-minute craze type thing. I mean, I think next week you'll get a shot in the arm, though, because Raw's going to London. It'll be over in England, and I think the crowd there will...
So they can run with it for a little while.
We'll give it a shot in the arm for maybe about a week or a couple weeks, but after that, I think it's going to really die off. And I think you're going to see Fandango be the next Brodus Clay.
You think so?
That's what I'm calling.
I disagree.
No?
No, I think that this
I could
is
be wrong. Hey,
I think they're going to run with this for a little while. They're going to give him a serious opponent, and you're going to see less dancing and less gimmick and more serious Johnny Curtis up in a higher program type attitude.
I
could see that happening. They need people.
Like we've said on the show before, he does a good job with the character. He does sell it to the best of his ability.
He does it very well. Yeah. And imagine if he just dropped a little bit of the dancing gimmick and was a little more serious. I think a lot of people would get behind this guy. I really do.
Hmm.
And there's a specific reason as to why you might want to consider pushing this guy to the moon right away, and that's because the roster is falling somewhat short here. A major blow to their roster kind of hinted at this week on Raw was the fact that CM Punk could be going away for a while.
Yeah, there's controversy, actually. I'm reading conflicting reports about this whole story. I don't know if it's because he's injured or if he's been butting heads with the creative team lately. I've been reading conflicting reports here, but yeah, you're right. I mean, with CM Punk being gone, at least for the foreseeable future here, that's a major blow to...
I kind of called it on Monday, though,
the star power on TV.
I had a feeling on Monday that... Did I not say this when we were watching?
No,
Raw?
Absolutely. You called
I had a feeling that Punk was going to come out, and he was going to basically say, I'm leaving for a while. And he didn't say it specifically, but it looks like he is gone just based off how he walked out of Monday Night Raw.
Reminded me of Shawn Michaels back in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
I think this is a good idea for CM Punk. It's bad for the WWE.
Oh, it's totally bad for the WWE. I mean, they're hurting in their roster right now.
You have a champion that people are booing. You have your guys who are just... You have your part-timers that come back just for WrestleMania wrapping up.
Yep.
So we're really relying on the core of the talent here for the next little bit, aren't you? One thing it's worth mentioning is Undertaker could be filling this void that they are losing with CM Punk because they do need star power on their roster.
Well, they need something. They got to sell tickets over in Europe somehow. And
it's rumored that he'll be wrestling at Extreme Rules as well.
I think it's really interesting that he's scheduled to wrestle a 6-man tag on next week's Raw. Personally, I think we're going to see him like get attacked backstage maybe by the Shield, and then it'll just be like a 3-on-2 kind of match, and that'll be set up at Extreme Rules. I think they're teasing it for next week, and then they're going to set it up for the pay-per-view. And I don't know.
My point is
maybe he will work the match. Maybe he's picking up the slack because wasn't The Rock supposed to be heavily promoted to be going over to the Europe tour?
We're losing The Rock as well. The entire point I'm trying to make here, James, is that we are losing some very key guys, so you're going to have to give opportunities to these newer people that you may not expect to get that sort of push behind.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I think Fandango's one of those guys. They're going to push him. So I wouldn't be surprised here if you see Fandango shoot right near the top. Now, we have a big win recently, and this blows my mind, because here you have a guy that should be at the top, and for whatever reason you continue to hold him down, but you have Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, I can't believe what they did to him on Monday.
He wins, he cashes in Money in the Bank, wins the World Heavyweight Championship, and then the next week he loses a match.
You know, I mean, I can understand why they did it. They're trying to make it look like Ziggler and Swagger and Del Rio are all kind of, you know, are kind of even Steven type thing, so they can set up a triple threat match for the pay-per-view, but... Really, do you want Dolph Ziggler losing matches right now after he just
won the
world title in such a spectacular fashion?
Why can Dolph Ziggler not move on to someone new here? Why do we... We just watched Del Rio and Swagger, and now all we're really doing is adding a third person into the mix, and we're just rehashing really what's gone on for the last little while with Ziggler added to it. But Ziggler's losing, so it's like, how am I even invested in this idea?
Well, I don't... Yeah, I don't agree with Ziggler losing really he doesn't need to be losing at this point. I do understand why they did it, but
just to even it out, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's just to make it so the guys all seem.
Does that not
it's the parody booking that WWE likes to do. And it just
I don't understand.
I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I do understand how it can kill interest. I really
do. It's just extremely frustrating. It's like you're trying to enjoy it, but then they do stuff like that and you're just like,
I know.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. You want to see a guy booked really strong and then they come out and they do something like that. And it was that way for all the champs on Monday Night Raw. You had the World Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler lose. You had Cesaro drop the belt to Kofi Kingston.
Let's talk about that quickly. What do you think? What's their justification with that? Why do they drop the title off Cesaro?
So Cesaro can move on to bigger and better things, and Kingston can continue losing.
The secondary titles. No one seems to be winning with those belts around their waist.
It's like a rock in your shoe, man.
It's just the whole thing right now is mind-boggling to me.
Isn't it?
The whole product as a whole. I'm trying to like make sense of this whole thing, and I just
and then you got Wade Barrett losing to R-Truth, but
and of course people would argue with me saying, "Why don't you just shut up and watch the product and be entertained?" I'm sorry, I can't be like that. I'm not one of those fans that can just sit back, relax, and you can feed me whatever you want, and I'm supposed to enjoy it. I get almost insulted at some of the ridiculous things you put in front of me sometimes, and I'm going to call you out on it. A lot of things here have not made logical sense. And the only explanation I have here with all of this is that the WWE knows it, but they've kind of got their hands tied right now with people not being able to continue on, injuries, people going on holidays, and they're in scramble mode. And scramble mode is ugly.
Which is, it's very ugly, which is unfortunate here because, I mean,
The timing couldn't be worse.
It couldn't be worse because the 3 months after WrestleMania are your annual slow months anyways, and now you're gonna have, massive rewrites with creative. It's just it doesn't.
It's just very noticeable.
It's a perfect storm for crap product.
I'm trying to make the most of it here. Ryback, Cena. I'm not getting excited for it, but I'll watch it.
The only thing I'm going to say about that is I would have way rather have seen Mark Henry and Cena because that would have made a lot more sense.
Yes.
But on the flip side, I do understand why they're doing it. They kind of want to build Ryback up to be a major name. So how do you do that? You got to put him against the top dog.
You're not selling me on Brock Lesnar and Triple H.
No, I didn't want to see that match a second time, let alone a third time. So
I'm not spending the money to buy Dolph Ziggler versus Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger.
What? I mean, you're not going to drop 50 big ones for that?
I'm also not going to spend money on Fandango yet because I don't even know who he's squaring off against at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you that either.
What else at this point can I look forward to with Extreme Rules?
I think we can probably look forward to Mark Henry and Sheamus. Seems like they've been teasing that program a little bit, which is kind of funny. Like I was just mentioning, Mark Henry and John Cena, zero interaction on this week's Raw.
But you understand how just disappointed I am here. You're disappointed
every week.
No, I'd like to be. I would have liked to have come home from WrestleMania weekend. I would have been like, that was a great Raw. I like how they had planted some sort of seed. Like I said this to you earlier in the week. I think they made a big mistake here by not planting a long-term seed with some sort of program down the road. I had mentioned it could have been Undertaker and John Cena. I'm not saying there needed to be like an official, this match is
going to
happen.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
But some sort of subtle long-term seed where for the next few months we can build everything and speculate around this.
There's been no hints of long-term booking.
There's no speculation of any kind.
But really, they don't really do that often. That whole thing where they did it with The Rock and John Cena, that was kind of an anomaly, though.
Okay, you take last year, for example. You came out of WrestleMania 28. You weren't really sure what direction they would go with John Cena, what direction they would go with The Rock, or with CM Punk.
And The Rock came out and he said he was going to go after the championship.
That was a little seed that was planted that said, down the road, you watch out whoever that champion is. So as titles are changing, or as Punk continued to carry the title, I should say, because he kept it for such a long time, you're thinking in the back of your mind that it could be The Rock versus CM Punk. right? And that, even though they never officially said that was going to happen, over time,
theoretically,
they planted these little seeds.
Yeah, theoretically.
That has not happened here.
No, they haven't given us
any
kind of...
So what am I really getting amped for at this point?
Oh, well, that can be a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, that's the whole element of surprise too, right? They could... Hey, who knows? WrestleMania next year could be like the most amazing show on earth and just like...
I just thought the best time to do that... Off. I just thought the best time to do that was the night after WrestleMania. And if you couldn't pull it off the night after WrestleMania because you had to scramble and buy yourself another week, I felt this Monday would have been the Monday to do something worthwhile here. And I didn't feel it. I feel very deflated with the current product.
Who knows? Just... wait and see. That's all I'm going to tell you. Is just calm down.
I know.
Wait
4 weeks.
See. Calm down.
I know, but we have to talk about something this week. We have to express our emotions. That's how I feel this week.
Okay, that's fair enough.
What do you? What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that's we've pretty much covered all the important stuff. No Miz on the Raw. How about that? Do we want to talk about that? No Miz.
No, I got nothing to say about that. I'm fine with that.
No Miz on the Raw. So.
It's a pretty bland week for wrestling.
It was a pretty bland week. I mean,
so what do you?
We could talk about TNA. No.
No.
Corey, no.
Let me ask you this.
Then. All right.
Let's put our thinking caps on. Think off the top of our head here. What do you do next week on Monday Night Raw? If it's such a bland week this week, next week, where do you go from here? If you were in their position. And this is purely fans speculating. You know, you're not really... We aren't the people actually pulling
these
triggers.
Well, first of all, you've got to have your stereotypical Triple H coming out and accepting the challenge. And then maybe Brock Lesnar attacks him and leaves him in a heap to, you know, build up hype for that one.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you have Ryback attack John Cena somehow, leave him in a heap. I don't know. You know, it's very... It's at this point, it's very bad and formulaic. Like
it is. Like I'm just trying to think of where you go from here.
How do you spice it up, right?
4 weeks, 4 weeks to get an amp for John Cena versus Ryback. I think the bigger story should probably be the fact that Ryback's turning heel. They tried to give the best explanation they could as to why this is happening in the time period that it is happening at.
Try to focus a little bit more on Ryback,
but maybe it's more of a story about Ryback's turning than it is for the championship. Do you know what I mean? You can focus on that. How you do that is up to that.
I mean, I will say this about Ryback's promo. It was the reasons that he gave for attacking Cena and stuff. They did make sense. It was semi-logical. It wasn't like the usual drivel that, you know, creative will feed us and expect us to swallow. But
part of me thought like this idea was so crazy that, and this idea of Ryback turning heel was so crazy that they almost felt forced to explain it to us the way they did. Have you ever seen such an elaborate explanation by the WWE?
I think it's because he was so over as a babyface, and now all of a sudden they just want to flip the switch and turn him heel just so he can face Cena. I mean,
it's just weird.
They've got to come up with an elaborate explanation for a guy that's that over. You know what I mean?
It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. You
know, what? I guess, like I said before, can we officially say that the post-WrestleMania lull is upon us?
I think you can hear it in our voices. Don't really.
Such a difference in crowds.
And the television ratings are affected already as well. They're not the greatest this week.
Well, I think it wasn't the greatest crowd, number one, and the show itself wasn't that great. I mean,
and when their show's not great, neither is ours.
Like, are we really looking forward to Raw next week? Can we say we are looking forward to Raw next week as much as we were looking forward to Raw last week?
No.
Definitely not. You're right.
I will be watching this Monday only because it is ingrained in my head that I watch Monday Night Raw on Mondays. And sometimes that is their only saving grace.
Well,
would you agree? That's got to be this week.
That's got to be this week. Well, I hear the music coming up in the background here. Do we have any emails we can quickly read?
I like how hey, I started that music for a reason. We just got nothing to talk about this week. Nothing good.
What about emails? Do we have emails to talk about? No,
we don't have any emails.
On air at smacktalkradiolive.com. That's the email that we got here.
What about Cauliflower Alley Club?
That's going to be an... Oh, that's going on right now, actually.
The guys
isn't
are down there right now. It's happening right now.
That's right. We missed
Jim Ross, Rob Van Dam's down there. Edge made an appearance today.
Adam Copeland, really?
Yeah. We got lots to talk about. We're going to try and get, actually, ASW wrestler Matic Static, who is down there right now. We're going to have him coming up in the next few days, whether it'll be a separate show or next week's show, but we're going to get his thoughts and his opinions on the cauliflower.
He's going to give us the inside track of what's going on this year. Awesome.
He's also got a big match coming up in Cloverdale where he's going to be taking on Richie Destiny. That should be good as well. That'll be for ASW, which is, of course, part of CNWA.
It's a rematch, too, between Destiny and Ecstatic.
Interesting.
Destiny, Ecstatic 2, they're building it as.
He's actually on the rise. He's planning to move to Alberta, so it's going to be a good conversation to have with him. We're going to be talking a bunch of different things.
Beautiful.
An up-and-coming star in the professional wrestling world. Something we don't always have on our show.
A definite name to look out.
All right, folks, that's it. Smack Talk Radio Live. Hey, you can't be listening to us forever. We want to hear your thoughts and opinions. Like James has said, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Send us those emails. I'm going to be putting in an order to buy some sweet swag here soon. If you want to be part of that, all you got to do is send us an email, and you'll be entered for a chance to win. And our website, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And it's at SRL Radio on Twitter.
What's that address?
At SRL Radio.
Beautiful.
What are you talking about? You're not even on Twitter yourself yet.
I have like 5 Twitter accounts. What are you talking about? You're just not followed on any of them.
The question is, who are you following on those accounts? No one knows. All right. We'll be back next week. We got eager this week. I don't know. Did we do the show tonight, which is Wednesday, because we were that excited to do a show, or was it because we were loving Monday Night Raw so much we couldn't wait to talk about it?
No, I think it was just because it was such a beautiful day outside that we decided, you know what? What's the best way we can enjoy this sunshine? Let's sit inside the studio and turn the mics on and pump out a show.
I'm almost regretting we did as well. Wasn't a good week for wrestling. That's my opinion.
No, I got to second you on that one. I will.
I'm Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
Hopefully next week will be a little better. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening.